has already mentioned and prayed. It's our heart to love God and to love His people. And I have a message that I would like to preach on loving God. As you know, there's no way that one person in the world, all the people in the world, I love that song about loving God. But I've chosen to preach on love God. And I will intentionally try to stay away from loving His word, loving His people, because I think that we have enough to focus on loving God. Why? Why should we love God? As far back, and I would say approximately 1,500 years before Jesus was born, God's people were giving a Shema, a Hebrew word that means listen or hear. Does that sound familiar? Hear, O Israel. I'd like to have us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'd like to read the first 15 verses. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And if thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. It's as far as I would like to read. So this is very clearly, this message is not for my age people only or the younger set. It is also for the youth, for the children. I pray that they could understand what a little bit of the love to love God, what that means. The Israelites lived in a time where I was reading out of Deuteronomy of having polytheistic neighbors. The pagans, because that's what they were called, believed in multiple gods, little g gods. They were never sure if believing and worshiping a certain god wouldn't make another god that they were worshiping jealous and angry. And so he would do curse type of things to them because they were serving some other god. They were never quite sure who exactly they had a plethora of gods. They had so many gods that I don't think we could name them all. But they were certain that some gods would be jealous and treat them harshly if they would worship another god. So they were living in that kind of a strain in their lives. So when the Lord, Yahweh, states, "The Lord our God is one Lord," Lord Elohim is plural, so you have a plural one God. We believe in a one God made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The security that God gave his people, the children of Israel, is absolutely enormous because they didn't wonder, they weren't concerned about what this one God that they worshiped would be worried about any other gods, because that's the only God they worshiped. The security that God gives us as believers in the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, is also enormous and everlasting. God will lead us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the assurance, and this is for all of us, that his comforting abiding will be, his presence will be in this life, but not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so, as we age, as our bodies don't cooperate, we know, we absolutely are certain that there is a better place with a new body and new abilities. And I recently told my physical therapist, I said, "In my spirit, I can still do somersaults." Well, she believed that. She actually said, that's good to know. There's no ending. There's no time limit in eternity. It is forever. We always are kind of crunching time. We're trying to make sure that we're here at the right time, which we didn't manage this morning. But we thought it started at 9:30 because guess who's unaware of all the things that are going on? But anyway, what is our response? What is your response? Right where we read in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine might." What else is there? Well, preacher, you say, that's the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. All right. I'd like to have you turn with me to Mark chapter 12. These are the words of Jesus, starting in verse 28, just several verses here. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So ask again, why should we love God? God, remember, the one God made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why should we love him? It's a command. Now we have in the New Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, is repeating it almost word for word, the Shema. It's not only in Mark, but it's also in Matthew and Luke. So it is a command. So parents, have you ever told your children that we're maybe scrapping, calling each other, well, maybe they don't do that here, but anyway, being nasty to each other? Have you ever said, I want you to love your brother or your sister? Go love him. They weren't very lovable, right? They weren't very kind or very easy to get along with. I vividly remember that. But here, God, the Lord God, Jehovah, Elohim, and now Jesus, the Messiah, is stating the same words and adding, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. How do you love God? God is spirit. No man has seen God. So how do you love the unseeable, untouchable God of the universe? I believe that first of all, you must believe in faith that there is such a God. So the important question I have for us this morning, for all of us, children, youth, men and women, do you believe that there is a God? That was the most important decision that was made by the Israel nation. It's still the most important decision for all of us today. If we are agreed that there is a truly a God, then I have four ways that I would like to give this morning. It's an acrostic, so I'm not sure, I didn't even look at the back of the bulletin to see if there's room, but there is. So if you have a pen and paper and you want to put L-O-V-E starting from the top down, then I have some words to put in beside that. And it helps me to remember some of the ways that we can love God. L is for loyalty, O is for obedience, V is for voice, and E is for energy. I would like to talk about loyalty. Several months ago, I had a call from my next-door Amish neighbor. And he said, I'd like to have you come over, I'd like to have you look at my scale on my grinder mixer, and I look at scales, and I have worked on them for about as long as, maybe longer than I've been preaching, actually. And he just lives a mile and about a, not quite a mile down the road. And so I got in my truck, and I headed down there, and he had just, at home, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but they have little booths, shacks, telephone shacks, we call them, and he had just left that and was walking home. It was kind of an uphill grade. And so I just stopped and had him get in the truck with me, and we went up to the farm, and the lawn is first, then their house, and then the barn and the equipment. And so out on the lawn, with his nose toward us, was his dog. And he was just kind of laying there in the grass with his nose pointed out toward the road. And this man's name is Mervin, and he said, "My dog does not know that I am in the truck with you. And he will absolutely stay there in that grass, and he will wait until I come and call for him. And he would usually come running for me as I come up the road, and then he would go back with me to the farm." That's a loyalty. That's from an animal. How long have you waited to hear from God? Have you said, "Guess I'll have to take the bull by the horns and figure it out myself. He's just too quiet. I can't hear anything at all from him." You know, if I would just go to Google and Google it, I could get a good answer, and I would go with that. How loyal am I to God's kingdom? Does the world that I live in have more pull in my life? And it has a lot of pull in all of our lives. More say in my life, more security to my well-being than being a child of God. Am I loyal to God in my time spent with Him? In my finances and the stuff that I have, the resources, do I put more trust in them, or am I loyal to God? And you might wonder, what's the rest of the story? After I was done there, and as I was driving out, I saw my neighbor walking out to the lawn where his dog was still waiting. In dog years, he probably would have waited there for days before he came back, unless he would have heard him they have a dairy farm, and so he could have been hearing him there, and he probably would have headed home. But I came away from there thinking, do you know that God is more loyal to me than I have ever been to him and to you? He promises in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So L is for loyalty. O is for obedience. We sing the song, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. What if God wants us to talk to a neighbor, to a friend, to a sibling, perhaps to your parents? Oh, no, I meant I'll go to China. I'll go to New Guinea. I'll go to Ghana, Africa, because I know people there are receptive to the gospel. That's where I'll go. What about your waitress, the checkout lad? You see, loving God is going where he asks, saying what he tells us to say, doing what he wants us to do. And I'm not talking about obedience to his written word, because that is a different message. And it would come under the heading of loving his word. Because I believe that obedience is in the everyday doings, goings, tellings. But you may ask, how do I know? How do I know when I'm being obedient to God in my everyday life? And the answer is because you're going to ask him. You will ask him if you should share his love with someone that day. You will ask him if he would like you to do a deed of kindness. You will prepare in the morning of that day, or for some people it means the evening of the previous day, and I'm good with that. But you will ask him, what would you like for me to do tomorrow? Yeah, go to work, sure. What about that fellow employee that's hard to get along with? I don't know. I don't know what God is going to ask you. But if you ask him, I am certain he will show you, tell you, make it clear to you without an audible voice, and maybe with an audible voice. If I love him, I will ask him. If I love him, I will obey him. O is for obedience. And then you come down to V, and V I have down is for voice. I think all of us probably have voices. I know some people are handicapped in that area. But with God, it doesn't matter if you have a physical voice, you have a voice. He will hear you. If you are audible, he will hear you if you speak from your heart quietly. He will understand exactly what you are trying to communicate. And I'm speaking more on the side of spiritual things. It may be difficult to explain to a person or a group of people what you believe to be the truth. The truth as you understand it. And you may feel like, even in a group like this, that your voice is not heard. Your voice is not understood. Your voice is not important. But loving God means you give him your voice in your spirit, in your heart, in your spirit, for sure. And another aspect of voice is physical. It is what we did this morning in worship just a little bit ago. We were speaking our love to God and for God. And I believe it can be as quiet as a prayer in your closet, or it can be as loud as a shout from the top of the mountains, or the silo, or the roof. I loved that picture that was up here this morning. Because when we see the majesty of the West, or the seven wonders of the world, or the seven wonders of your backyard, the vastness of the universe, the precision and beauty in a flower, the intricate structure and vibrant colors declare, yes, there is a God. I love you, God, for the majestic mountain, the never-ending water going down a river or over a falls. We may see it's beautiful. Shar and I were out in the West. I'm only 70-something, and I'd never seen Yellowstone. I'd never seen the Grand Tetons. And so I was reminded of that this morning when I saw that picture overhead. It's absolutely beautiful. We kept saying, how can you believe there is no God and see all of this? And some people would say the same thing about seeing cornfields and bean fields and hay fields. But there's something majestic about a mountain. It was the end of May and there was still snow up there, even though it was 72 degrees where we were out. It was just absolutely beautiful, and it was before it was too heavy with tourism. And we saw his animals, we saw the wild animals, and it was something that we kept saying, we're going to take pictures, but this is really puny for what is out there. We'll never be able to do it justice. Speak the beauty of God's creation to him. He is the creator. He called it good. You call it good. You can give voice to those feelings. You can give voice to God through hard times as well. When you raise your voice in crying, if you raise your voice in lament, I am not being understood, I'm not being heard, God will understand you. God will hear that voice. Perhaps in loneliness, perhaps in grief. That's a powerful thing. Be honest to God with your voice. I'm hurting. I'm grieving. I miss my mate. I miss my son, my daughter. I miss my neighbor. I miss whoever you are grieving for. There are times when you may not be certain that there is a God that is hearing you. I believe that you can give voice to that. I believe that doubt, when it's honest, when it's searching, can still be loving. It may be giving voice to your humanness, your failings, even your sins, a sinful action or a thought. With your voice, you are free to lovingly confess to God. And it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. So V is for voice. E is for energy. What did Jesus say we should give to God in love? It was all, I would say all in caps, all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. After that, how much is left over? And the question I have this morning is something to make us think. How about if you give him 99.9% instead of all? If I had somebody working for me, and if you're an employer out here, if you had somebody working for you and he would give you 99.9% of his strength, his knowledge, his wisdom, his working ability, would that be good enough? And I would raise my hand and say, oh yeah, I'll take that guy five times every day of the week, or that lady, whoever it is. Because out of 1,000 times, there would be only one time that it might not go well. Is that good enough? Would you fly commercial aircraft if they would have an accident once in 1,000 times? Dale and I are planning to fly this afternoon. I could ask Dale if he'd be okay with that. Not very likely. I flew to Chicago on my way out. That was my connecting flight at O'Hare. 2,520 average flights go in and out of O'Hare every day. That means that 2.5 plane crashes would happen every day at O'Hare Airport. Almost 1,000, actually 919 major plane crashes just out of O'Hare every year. What do you think? I think I'd stick with Philly, maybe Harrisburg. Some other place, but not O'Hare. By the way, that doesn't happen. They estimate maybe 1 in 1 million disasters of some kind. But the question is 99.9% good enough? Now, we're human. I'm human. I would say if I could give God that much of me, I would be doing pretty good. But it says all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and there is nothing left over. Now, that is a lot of energy, because E is for energy. Are you giving God all of your energy spiritually? Because I believe that's what he's talking about. God is spirit. We are talking spiritual. In natural energy, in a closed loop system, or an isolated system, the total energy remains constant. If it's chemical energy and it's gas, you put it in your vehicle, it's converted to mechanical energy, and you will go until the gas runs out. That's not a closed loop system, but in a closed loop system, it will always be constant. My belief is that in spiritual energy, it's not meant to be closed loop. My energy and yours, spiritually, flows out of us in love to God by flowing out in love to others, because we have, first of all, a love for God. That energy may change in a new Christian, in a young believer, as he or her belief in God becomes more rooted and grounded. I believe that the energy that flows out of us in our love to God also flows into us from God. It says, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. 1 John 4:16. So even though it would appear that it's just an ongoing circle like a closed loop, I believe that spiritual energy creates more energy than we put into it. Think about it. Your energy that you put into loving God spiritually comes back. I guarantee you that God has more energy than not just this room put together, but all of the universe, all of the world put together. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and energy. Loyalty, obedience, voice, energy spells love. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, that we have only scratched the surface of what that looks like, and also what it looks like in our lives to love you, to care about you, to be loyal to you, to be obedient to you, to give our voice of praise to you, to give our energy to you, our spiritual energy, 100% of it. Seems daunting. It seems like a task that we will never accomplish. And yet, you say that we are perfect, We are perfect in Jesus Christ because of His energy flowing through us and guiding us and directing us. So I pray that You would bless this congregation, this people, as we contemplate Your love for us, as we contemplate our love for You, that it would increase, that it would flow out of us, that from us would flow wells and springs of living water into other people, into other parts of this world, this country, other parts of the world, the mission, outreach, whatever it is, I pray that You would bless it, guide it, and direct it. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn it over to Luke or whoever.